Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in our Father's Word, the Minor Prophets. You know, they're like reading tomorrow's newspaper. And it is ever so important that you understand the Minor Prophets. There's nothing really minor about them. It's just that they're shorter than the longer prophets. That's why they were termed minor, only in that sense. In this particular case, this book of Amos meaning a burden, or I would even kind of translate it in a sense, compassion that God has for his people, because if he loves you and has compassion for you, he's going to correct you. He's going to thump your gourd every once in a while. And really what we've gone through in this first and second chapter is one time, two times, three times. When it comes that fourth time, that's again, 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 and again, Father gets put out about it, okay? And he takes evasive action. And that's what has happened here. He even told what Edom would do through Moab to the last king of Edom, which is to say Rush, the last czar. And it's written that they were buried in lime. And we pick it up then in chapter 2, verse 4, as we continue. Like I said, like reading tomorrow's newspaper also, listen carefully. Verse 4 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah," and here we come down to one of the houses even, "and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord," that's to say the word of God, "and have not kept his commandments, and their lies," or their idols, false teachers, "caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked." In other words, they walked in that idolatry. And naturally, our father, in as much as he picked that tribe to hold the scepter, then about four times, and it's gourd thumping time. And Father knows how to get it done. Verse 5. "But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem." And so it is as Christ would leave Jerusalem, as we read in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. They marveled at the buildings, and he said, "Hey, let it not be a mystery to you. There will not be one stone left standing atop another." That time will come when that event will transpire. Not one stone. Verse 6. Here we get down to the other house. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes." And you know, a pair of shoes at this time was just a sole with a strap on it. That means selling them into slavery for your own family, for their own pleasure. And many might say, well, how could they do that? By losing identity, by not knowing who they are. You can sell your people into captivity if they lose their heritage. Verse 7. "They pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go in into the same maid to profane my holy name." This is translated wrongly in a sense. What it says is, they step on the heads of my people and push them right down into the very dirt. And these temple girls, they call it religion in this new belief they have. And a father and a son will both go into a temple girl. And that was called religious. Okay. But that was the religion of that time. And it was certainly not what God's law said. Quite the contrary. Verse 8. "And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar." Altar is a place of worship, got it. "And they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God." They steal it. You know what this is saying? Do you know what God's law is pertaining to this. Let's go with Exodus chapter 26. You're not going 22 verse 26. You're not going to have it. I'm going to read it to you. If thou at all, this is what God's law says. Exodus 22 verse 26. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. In other words, you don't keep it overnight. Why? Verse 27, for that is his covering only, not yours, not somebody else's, his only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? Question. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. You mess around like that, I'm going to pay attention. Don't think that God does not keep a score on how his people are taken advantage of by those that have the authority to do it. Okay. He keeps record. And when they cry out, that's their prayers, he hears. And he not only hears, he takes action. One time, two times, three times, the fourth time, and that's charm. That'll get your gourd thumped. Okay. And many might say, well, that's terrible. No, that's love. That's God's love for his people to keep them out of the pits of hell. Okay. Verse 9, to continue. Yet destroyed I, and this I is emphatic, yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars. They were giants. These were the leftover Nephilim, fallen angels, okay? He said, I'm the one that did it. And he was as cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. In other words, I took him out of business. I took the Geber away, both the first and second influx. Our Father loves his children. Okay. Verse 10, also I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years, that's probation, through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. I led you. And you know what he did? He opened the gates of heaven and fed manna in that 40-year period. He opened the gates of the east wind, and the east wind blew, and the quail were blowing right into the camp for them to partake of that food. The Lord is able, and the Lord takes care of his own. But even after doing this, verse 11, and I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. It is not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. This fact, he raised up prophets that would teach them the truth from the law of God. He raised up Nazarites. What is a Nazarite? A Nazarite is someone that will not shave their beard or will not drink of wine and will not approach the opposite sex for the period of the Nazarite oath. In other words, it's to teach God's word, to be God's word, to study God's word, to present God's word. This is the way God communicates with the people. But what do the people do? Verse 12. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophet, saying, prophesy not, you zip it. This kind of angers our Father when he sends teachers. And when he sends prophets, he would send them. People wouldn't listen. Absolutely would not listen to the word of God. Can you begin to understand why a father who loves his children one time, two times, three times, and four might be the limit? I tell you, I think it's excessive kindness on his part. That really takes patience to listen to something four times without taking any action at all. Our Father has a lot of patience. He did send the prophets, right of their own, that wouldn't listen. And they took the vow of the Nazarite, and they forced wine to their lips. Okay? And so it was. Verse 13 to continue. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Now, you should know by reading that there is something badly wrong with that translation. God doesn't get pressed under anything. The real translation is, God is saying, I'm going to load your wagon till you can't even pull it. I'm going to load it down so much with your troubles that you're hardly going to be able to move it. Okay. And if you think God won't overload your donkey, you try him. I guarantee you, he will keep his word. That's not to say he'll bring evil. He can put holes in your bucket, friend. The one you're trying to get ahead in, the one you're trying to save in, if you don't love him, if you don't use common sense, he can cause more trauma to happen to you whereby it costs that money that's going in the bucket. That's why I say it. He can put holes in your bucket. So just like he would teach in the great book of Haggai, okay, which we'll cover, one of the minor prophets. No, God doesn't get pressed down under anything. He says, I'm going to see him. I'm going to load you a wagon. Okay. Verse 14. Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift. They're not going anywhere. And the strong shall not strengthen his force. It won't do him any good. Neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Even though the mighty are as mighty as they can be, they're still going to fail. Okay. Why? They're going against God. There's no winning there. Verse 15. Neither shall he stand that handleth the bow. And he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. Horse was really, that is a war horse. I mean fast. But you can't escape the hand of God. When God gets ready to load your donkey, he's going to load it. Okay, it doesn't matter how fast you are. I will even amplify that to say you could be in the fastest jet in the world we have at this time. God will still catch you when he's ready. There's no problem to him. Okay, when he's ready to drop the hammer, then it's going to happen. Verse 16, to complete the chapter. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. In other words, they're not going to have anything left. God's going to take it all away from them. This also plays into the great book of Revelation, where and we're looking toward the end times here for the 10 tribes. This book of Amos is written by a person of Judah, but it's written to the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes. In other words, the house of Israel, not the house of Judah, though Judah is pertained to occasionally. But your righteous acts that you commit here on earth weave the fine linen that you wear in heaven. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. And if you don't have any righteous acts, guess what? Just like you said, you're naked. And it won't be a pretty sight, will it? But be that as it may. Chapter 3. This is kind of a parabolic chapter. And many parables, but common sense always prevails. I want you to know that. Just good old country common sense always prevails. And I will give you a little saying. No effect without a cause. I'm going to say that again. No effect without a cause. Chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word. That means you listen. That the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, I mean, this goes to the whole house. Verse 2. You only have I known, I loved, of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. In other words, why would he love that family? Because it was that family through which Christ would come. Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. And naturally, it was his immediate family, though all children, all races, whomsoever will, that's family. But this particular one, they let him down. This one through which the Christ child would come. Verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, you see, there, in the translation, sometimes things don't get translated as they should. What this means, can two walk together except they be agreed? What it's saying is, can two walk to a point, place, and time if they haven't agreed first beforehand what day and what hour and what street corner or what building or what address they're going to meet at? In other words, two just can't start chopping off out across anywhere and end up at the same place without making arrangements. What God is kind of telling you here, you need to pay attention. If you intend to meet the Savior, you better know the time schedule a little bit. And you better know where the meeting is going to take place. We know that Christ returns to the Mount of Olives. And we know that when his feet touch that Mount of Olives, that the way will be opened right to the east gate on Mount Zion. And the thing is, he's saying, you should always plan ahead. Use common sense. And the times and the elements in God's Word are very important. And you need to pay attention to them, because you can't walk together and end up overcoming without there being agreement. And that agreement comes from knowing Father's Word. Okay. Verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Question. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Now think about those and remember what I said. No effect without cause. Okay. In other words, you have to use common sense. If a lion is walking into the forest and he has no prey, what's he doing? He's hunting. Therefore, he's seeking out prey. If he started roaring, then certainly the prey would hear the roar, and they would be off and gone. Okay. So naturally, if no effect without a cause. Okay. So the point is, he was hunting, and the cause would be, he's looking for prey. So he's not going to be sounding off, and neither would the young in the den if he didn't have something to chomp on. Okay. So, again, what our Father wants you to know, there's a reason and a time, but always, always understand that with no effect and without a cause, that nothing happens. In other words, if you effectively have not made a plan together to meet at a certain place at a certain time, Then certainly. But let's just say that let's set up an example here. You want to go shopping? I'm going to say at Walmart's, okay? And now there are many, many Walmart stores, so you've got to identify the building in which you wish to meet, and then comes the time, and then comes the date. You can't just say Thursday, because there's a Thursday in every week. You've got to be specific. You've got to be effectual. It's got to be effective to be successful. You have to use common sense in all things. Verse 5. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Now think about that statement. Kind of parabolic. Can a bird be caught in a trap when there's no trap there? The answer, of course not. That's ridiculous. Okay. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? If a man sets out a snare and doesn't load it, and he comes back, what would he expect to catch? He didn't set the trap. Okay. So he's got nothing. So there should be no surprise there. If you're going to set a snare or if you're going to set a trap, you've got to bait it, load it. Or you come back and take it up, what did you put it out there for in the first place? Again, no effect without a cause. Okay. You got to use your head. This is why God gave us the gray matter. Verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blowing in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city? Or translate that calamity, okay? Shall there not be calamity in a city and the Lord hath not done it? In other words, this trumpet that is blowing is a prophet's trumpet. God said, I've sent these prophets and they blow the trumpet. They sound the trumpet for you to come into the teaching. You won't show up, but you should tremble a little bit and you should be afraid enough to show up because it's the word of God coming to you. Not the word of the prophet, but the word of God coming to you. So naturally, if you continue that, if you think God won't let a little calamity come along after first, second, third time, fourth time charm, you're going to get your gourd thumped. Okay. There's plenty of cause and there's a lot of effect there. Okay. And the trumpets bring the prophet's teaching and people should listen. Verse 7. Don't ever forget this. This is the answer. Surely, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That's why you want to rememorize that verse, and that's why you want to hang on to it. That's what makes God's word so very, very valuable. If there was ever a proverb that you hung on to, that particular one that precedes this, and then telling you why you'd better hear the trumpet. Because God sends those prophets, and he will never, ever, ever let anything happen. That if you will study the prophets, you're not forewarned that it's going to happen. That is the love of your Father. That he leaves us so armed with truth and knowledge and wisdom. You can better understand why our Father would say in one great book, my children are destroyed for by lack of knowledge. That's in the Minor Prophets also, remember? Lack of knowledge can do it. But if you understand the prophets, if you listen to them, I'm talking about the prophets of God, not some yo-yo out here that claims to be, okay? I'm talking about the real thing. You got a copy of it right here. God sent us all the prophets we'll ever need. Okay. And he has foretold them all things. So you've got a full-time job absorbing that. Absorb it. Learn from it. Love our Father. And know of a surety that the Lord God will do nothing ever, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Therefore it pays to listen to the prophets. And Amos is certainly one. He wasn't the son of a prophet. God chose him, a sheep herder and a tender of wild figs, to bring forth this beautiful message that many would say is deep, and it's deep enough that the translators even had a little problem with it. But yet it all is simply basic common sense. And so it is. No effect without a cause. In other words, if there is effect, there's going to be a cause for it. It makes common sense. Example, if a bird gets caught in a trap, it's because somebody set a trap for it. That's the cause. And the same thing applies. Nothing will ever happen that God hasn't foretold us of before the event. Verse 8, to continue. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? In other words, if you've got an old lion nipping at your toes and roaring and growling at you, you're going to fear. You're going to listen. And if God is warning you through the prophecy, you better listen to that also. In other words, they both could prevent calamity. If you escape the lion or take care of business, you're not harmed. Likewise, if you listen to the word of God and take His roar, His warning, His love, His understanding, His presence of mind to teach you before the fact, if you'll just study, the love of loving you to the point that He wants you to come to repentance and to follow Him. He wants you to simply use common sense. You know, many might say, well, it sounds like God's talking down to us here. No, He's not. He's showing you how silly some people can be. Okay. He turns this all around, and He said, if that same old lion is growling at your heels, you should fear. You better believe you should. Okay. And then He says the same thing. If my prophets are at your heels prophesying, you better listen to that too, because it's going to happen exactly as it's written. Well, how can I count on that? Because He told you in verse 7, and don't you ever forget it. I will do nothing except I forewarn you through the prophet. You've been told. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 9. Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves, you set yourselves, upon the mountains of Samaria. That's where the 10 tribes headquarters were. And behold, you watch the great tumults of the midst thereof, and the oppression in the midst thereof. In other words, that's my people Israel. If you think God wasn't put out, I mean, there they were at Samaria, and old Jeroboam said, we'll just whittle out two calves here. You don't have to go down and worship God. You can worship these calves and keep everything right here. It infuriated our father to have picked leaders like that, that would mislead the people, when the prophets had already forewarned, when the prophets had instructed concerning Jerusalem. Oh, no, it's too far to go down there. We'll just change God's word. Don't you ever dare try to change God's word. Let God's word stand. For God's word is sufficient within itself. Well, that was kind of like one time, two time, three times, four. You watch them and watch the turmoil, what's going to happen. The old Assyrian was basically, he was on his way. All 10 tribes are going to be sacked right up. Okay? It is going to happen. Verse 10. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. They just spoil everything. The truth of my word, the true teachings, they turn it all upside down. Verse 11. Their palaces is their citadel too, their little churches. All right. 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary. You know who the adversary is? That's Satan. An adversary there shall be, even round about the land, and he shall bring down the strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. That's the Antichrist. It's going to happen. What did he tell you back in 7? I'm going to warn you about everything before the fact. So what he's warning you, the adversary is, that's Satan's name. Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue. It's his name. Okay. He's going to be there. Verse 12, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd, that's the true shepherd, taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus, that's Syria, the Assyrian, in a couch. In other words, the remnant that's going to be saved of God's elect that will know the truth is going to be so small it would all fit in half the bed. Okay. Meaning, there's not that many of God's elect that saved from the deception of these end times especially. That's a sad situation when God goes to the point of making it so simple a child can understand it, simply using common sense and following the Word of God. It delivers you totally from the confusion and the tumult and into the loving, graceful arms of Almighty God. You know, He wants you to listen to His Word. That's once you listen, none of this applies to you. You could be right in the middle of it and it would be of none effect. Why? Because you're one of those that He pulls from the fire. He sets you aside. You're safe, in other words. And so it is. And I suppose the sad thing is that and half a chair or half a bed is all it's going to need to sleep them. Okay? But it is the true shepherd that will do that through the elect. Verse 13. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob. That's all tribes. Saith the Lord God, the God of hosts. That's all the natural seed. Verse 14. That in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. That's the house of God. I'm going into that church, and the horns of the altar, that's to say the power of it, shall be cut off and fall to the ground. That's the false teachers and the false teaching. There's going to be an end to it. Verse 15 to complete the chapter. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Unfortunately, do you know what that means? This is kind of speaking to old Jezreel. That's the good time Charlie. He said, you've had a lot of good times at my expense, where I bless my children. But I'm going to take all those fancies away from you. You're going to see a little poverty. You're going to see a little financial distress. And I don't know, maybe you got it coming. That's what our Father says. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. Let's don't judge people. Hey, we've got one judge, and boy, he gets it done. He does not need our help in judgment. It's all right for you to use spiritual discernment, but leave the judging to Him. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you've got a prayer request. We can do away with that number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. Just talk to Him. Let Him know what your needs are. Most of all, you need to pleasure Him by doing what it is that He most wants from you. That's your love. Hosea 6:6. Don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. Okay. That's your mercy, grace. That's what Father wants. You know, we have to appreciate Him for all that He's done for us. Can you imagine, as we were studying today, where He said, I brought them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, I fed them manna, I brought them quail, look what they do to me. You know, you can't hardly blame Him, okay? It's good to serve Him. And you can understand why He loves those that do listen. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Beth from Florida. Where is several verses in the Bible that reads, anoint not thyself? In chapter 5, James verse 14, it says, call the elders. Can we anoint ourselves? I know God heals. We use the oil to be obedient. Please answer. You can anoint yourself because it is Christ that instructed us to anoint. If there's no one there to anoint you, not another Christian, and you need anointing, you still got Christ there. For He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And it is not a sin to anoint yourself or for you to anoint your home or whatever the case may be, whatever the anointing is used for. That is a precious thing of Christianity. Okay, Christ Himself, meaning Christos, meaning the anointed one, the chief anointer of all. Okay, you and Him is all that's necessary. Seth from Pennsylvania. A question about Luke chapter 10 verse 1. Why do some translations say 70 and others 72? How many were sent out? And why do translators differ on this? Also, on this, does the number really matter? Well, it mattered to them. 70 was the number. But the manuscripts make it very clear that He sent them out by twos. In other words, there were 35 groups that He sent out. There were not 72 people that He sent out. He sent 70 people out by twos, meaning a double witness. Okay, you always want a witness. And a ministry, when it is set up, should have a double witness on everything. That way, the error rate is cut down tremendously when you have two witnesses to verify a point of accuracy, okay? And that's why God would send two out, okay, for protection and otherwise. Michael from Oregon, what will happen to the baby boomers 9 or 10 years from now? Well, they will be exactly where God wishes us to be, okay? I feel that we will, if we are still here in 9 or 10 years, if God delays and does not return, and whatever time He should return, we always have wise men and women that come along in time to fix things. Right now it needs a lot of fixing, but it will be fixed, and it will be fine. Okay. And many might say, well, how could you say that? Because God blesses America. Even with its shortfallings, we always have that group of people that will stand up. You'll see an example of it in the state of Washington. You got one little old atheist with governor's approval shows up at the state house, Capitol, and puts his little sign. Okay. And Christians did not hold still for it. First of all, some Christians or somebody did a bad thing. They stole the sign. Okay, they stole it and bent it, would you believe? And took it to a radio station. Anyway, it got back, and the little atheist, he shows up again and puts a little sign on the bottom, thou shalt not steal. Quoting Bible, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, be that as it may. You know, we see many strange things, but then today you've got hundreds of Christians that showed up. Now, I didn't see the little atheist show up. I think with that mob, he was a little, maybe he didn't have enough faith. Okay, so that his atheism would carry him through. I don't know, but he wasn't there, so be that as it may. He put up his little sign, "Thou shalt not steal," and ran. I wonder what that was a quote from. You know, I guess while I'm here, you have many things that try to brainwash you on television nowadays, especially from global warming. Okay. You know, we've had global warming since the beginning of time. It happens every spring. Praise God. You know, warms up the old cold winter time. But you've got a commercial out now by the Greenpeace. I don't know if it's Greenpeace, but some of your tree huggers, I'll call them, to be generous. And they show this guy going to show you clean burning coal. And the clown is in a building and he steps out and he's out in the middle of the desert. We have, you know, a person that's familiar with the desert, I recognize the shrubs that are there, the old ironwood tree. You can go to New Mexico or Arizona out in the desert and see it every day. We've had deserts before we ever started burning coal. So, you see, they're playing with your mind. What kind of idiot would associate clean burning coal with deserts that we've had since the beginning of time in God's Word? Okay. But that's what I'm saying. They're going to play with your mind and make you think things when we're just doing pretty good if you love the Lord. Okay. Who do we have here? Matthew from Missouri. Do you really believe that God would punish us for something we don't remember from the first earth age? I have heard you say that everyone is getting what they deserve from the first world age. Matthew, don't you ever read the Bible? Oh, son, haven't you ever read Romans chapter 9? Where God said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated while they were still little embryos in their mother's womb. It's because of what they did in the first earth age. Okay. Haven't you ever read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 where God said, I chose you before the foundations of this world? Son, you need to read your Bible. Okay. Or listen to a teacher that teaches God's Word. Well, here we got another one from Matthew from Missouri. I hope this is a little higher quality question. And I'm not talking down to you. I'm just saying you got to listen to God's Word. Do you consider yourself as an elect? Also, do you think that only Israelites will be the elect? No, there are more kings and queens of the ethnic peoples than there are elect. Okay? Many more. All right? If so, what about the different races and people? They're there. God loves them. Whomsoever will. You can read. I'm going to tell you again. You need to read the Bible. Okay. Because if you read Revelation chapter 21, verses 20 through 24, we're in the eternity. And here you have the 12 tribes are in the city. But who are these people coming over the hill here? Of the nations. That word in the Greek is ethnos. It means the ethnic peoples with their kings and queens. They have them even in the eternity. You need to read your Bible, boy. And I'm not talking down to you. I'm just trying to educate you. Okay, Kayla from Michigan. My name is Kayla. I'm 8 years old. The day I was born was May the 12th, 2000. Well, congratulations. If you died, can you still be saved? Well, there is a possibility that if a person did not have the opportunity to know the truth and they passed on to our Father, then in the millennium they will have a 1,000-year period to learn the truth. I said, if they had no opportunity. Now, at the same time, Kayla, we're not to judge. A lot of people die and they are saved, though a lot of people might not. I mean, they're kind of judging them. But you don't know, a person doesn't know how someone talks to our Father. Because he doesn't have to say it out loud. And that's why our Father doesn't want us judging who died that was unsaved and so forth. And it's good to hear from you. You keep studying God's Word. Frank from Indiana. Question one. If the good, bad, and the ugly are all in the first resurrection, how can the bad and ugly be priests of God in the thousand-year reign? Now, that's not true. Okay. The bad are, there may be some of us ugly teaching, okay, but the bad are not going to be teaching. Haven't you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, 53, 54? Some are raised still yet with a mortal soul. That means liable to die. We're going to pound some sense into their heads through that thousand-year period. It's called discipline. You might say, well, why wouldn't you pound the Word? You don't need to, because everybody will know the Word. You won't have to ask your neighbor, do you know the Word of God? They will. But they will need to know discipline. But you need to read Luke chapter 16 real good, because there's two sides to paradise. And certainly the bad are not priests. Okay, I don't know whether to go on or not here, Frank. Let's see. The Word says Judas hung himself in the book of Acts. He fell backwards. Well, that's you know my opinion on it, okay? We'll go on. I think he had some help. Catherine from Florida, my question is, my father died when I was 5 years old. I don't think he was a Christian. He was in the hospital for a month before he died. Could he have asked Jesus then to save him? I just want to know if I will see him in heaven. Will I recognize him or grandmother? I know she's in heaven. Of course you will. Okay, Catherine? And again, I want to tell you, don't judge your father. We don't know. And, you know, regardless of, don't listen to what people say either. We're not to judge people. That's God's business. So, and you will, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 20 through 25, you'll even have an opportunity to help them if they weren't, okay? And definitely you will recognize them. That's what that 44th chapter declares. God's Zadok, or the just, the elect, they know them. Philip from New York, when we die and go to our spirit chill bodies, will we remember our time in our mortal bodies? Thank you. Yes, we will. There will only be one time when things are blotted out, and that you have to take into account. After the great white throne judgment, there are certain people that shall be blotted out, meaning that will be from memory, from mind, as though they never existed because they went to hell. Okay, Sharon from North Carolina. In Mark 13, it says that no one knows when Jesus will come back to the Father, but the Father. Now that Jesus is back in heaven, does he know when he is coming? Probably so. Probably so. Steve from Michigan. In the book of Job, it says the sons of God went into the presence of the Lord, and Satan went with them. How is it possible for Satan to be in the presence of the Lord? And you're quoting from Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. That was a customary thing that they all reported to him. An angel is a messenger. And Satan, where had Satan been? Walking to and fro on the earth. Where is Satan right now? Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, he's in heaven. Behind Christ, get behind me, Satan, and he will be there until Michael casts him out for a five-month period, as it is written in Revelation. Where does he cast him out to? Right back here on earth. So you want to be kind of blessed right now that he is in heaven, though his evil spirit is on earth. But he's coming de facto to earth in the not-too-distant future. Okay. Pam from Oklahoma, how many times was Adam married? What was the name of the city that Cain went to after killing Abel? Well, it is not written what city he went to. He went to the land of Nod, and he took a wife there from the six-day creation. There's a lot of mythology going on now that you need to totally discount, and this mythology is dreamed up by certain scholars that do not want to admit there was a six-day creation. This is where it all comes from. It's what it all comes down to. And as a scholar of the language, I know that to be a fact. Adam had only one wife, and it was Mother Eve. He never knew a Lilith. Okay, that Lilith is a figment of people's imagination, the love goddess. Okay, she did not exist as far as Adam is concerned. There was a six-day creation. The manuscripts declare there was a six-day creation if you read the Hebrew manuscripts accurately. Because people are afraid they will be called a racist, a scholar will insert a little mythology, sexually even, to throw people off. Okay, but or rather to risk being called a racist. And I don't, you know, because God created the races, all the races are here. God created them. What's racist about that? Okay. That's reality. God's looked and he's proud of every one of them. So there need be no apology. Everyone must be respected with dignity. And there's nothing racist about it. The races other than Eth-Ha-Adam were created on the sixth day, and they had migrated, and that's why Cain could go to the land of Nod and take a wife, because some of the six-day creation was there. Okay, Lisa from California, where is it at in the Bible where there is war in heaven? Well, there's more than one place, but I'm going to give you Daniel 10 just to help you out, okay? Because it names the angels that are even warring. Quite a battle, okay? Dennis from Florida. The verse where the dead shall rise first, can you please explain this? Will we be here when the Antichrist comes? Well, if you live long enough, you will be, because he's very close right now. And will the dead rise first? They're already gone. They have already risen. So naturally, we're not risen. They are. So yes, the dead do rise first. They're already out of here. This is why it's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 or 17, there's no way that we who are alive and remain can precede them, because they're already gone. Okay. Period. That's the end of story. Susan from South Carolina, how do I explain to family and friends why we should not eat pork? Where in the Bible do I find the unclean animals that I should not eat? Leviticus chapter 11, you should not... You know, God created all the animals and they are good. But as it is written in Timothy, whereby it says, don't ever let some man judge you in marriage or in... what you eat that God created to be received. You see, that's what people overread. God created to be received. He did not create scavengers to be received. Those scavengers are good. They're good for what? Good for what God created them for, to keep disease off the earth. Okay. In other words, they eat dead things. They clean diseases up. The swine, God gave no sweat glands, so they cannot sweat off the poison that they partake of. It's stored in the fat. And when you eat that fat, you're eating all the poison that animal consumed from the day of birth, okay, or even that his mama passed on to him. That's why God doesn't want you eating them, okay? And Leviticus 11. Kathy from Texas, I want to make something very clear. That is not a sin to hell. It is a sin against your health. Okay, big difference. Kathy from Texas, can it call out a demon in a person if that person is 150 miles away from you? Will it work? Will power and prayer in which several people are praying? You need to... I like to, when this case is done, have someone be anointed in proxy. and do this, someone close to that person. For instance, if you're his mother, yourself, and have someone anoint you in proxy for him in casting out the evil spirit, okay? You know how to take it from there? Fantastic, go for it. Eve from Indiana. Something has been bothering me and I need your input. I heard my sister's husband say, I never talk about religion with anyone because you can read a verse from the Bible to 50 people and 50 people will see it a different way. My response was, no one will understand one verse unless they go back to the subject and object and then let it drop. Should I have carried it further or did I plant the seed properly? You did. Okay, that's the way to go, okay? And that if that strikes a note, he'll be back. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. He will always forewarn us of what's about to happen when you study His Word. Love Him for that. Let Him know you love Him. It makes His day, and then He's naturally going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? But you know something? There's one thing that's a lot more important. That's that you stay in His Word. You set a little bit of time aside each day. Okay? Different people have different appetites. But set that time aside to study His Word. And that's most important. Stay in it. Stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here.